Amen. I want to welcome you to Christ Church, those of us here, as well as our church online family. My name is Steve Luttenberg. I'm the youth director here at Christ Church. And what a blessing it is to work with these wonderful students and volunteers. They are incredible. Give them one more round of applause. They have worked so hard this summer. As you got to see a little bit and on the screens as well as out there, the People Place is flooded with stories of how God is moving through these kids. We just finished up our What Would Youth Do project. And if you don't know what that is, or if you haven't heard of it before, basically, we had a donor that gave us $10,000 and said, we want to give it to students and give them $500 each and say, do something good. And so you can see the stories out in the People Place, but you saw them on the screens. There's 18 of them, and we are so proud of them. Yes, it is Youth Sunday, and so once a year we get to share with you what God has been doing in our youth ministry. And I am so excited to have Sam, Grace, and Adriana share from their hearts what God is doing through them. So I want to invite Grace Cook to come on up and share her story.
Good morning. My name is Grace Cook, and I'm going into the ninth grade. So for my What Would Youth Do project, I was thinking of what I should do, and since I've been doing horseback riding for about 7 years, I wanted to incorporate that into my project. I remembered my school doing a service project at the American Therapeutic Riding Center. It's a place for children and adults with physical and mental disabilities. They use horseback riding as a relaxing and muscle-building therapy. So I called the place and left a voicemail explaining my project. I told them I had $500 to do something good, and I asked what I could do for them. When she called me back, she told me how happy she was to hear my call because all summer they had been praying for someone to donate money so that they could buy new helmets. She said that they replace their helmets every 5 years so that they stay in safe and good condition. And this was the year that they needed funding to buy the 10 new helmets. For those helmets, it was going to cost almost exactly $500. As soon as she said this, I knew this is what God wanted me to do with this money. So we bought the helmets and set up a time for me to come and help them out. When I got there, three kids were waiting to ride. They were ranging in ages around 9 to 14, and so they were so eager to get on their horses. When they got on, they seemed so relaxed and happy, and they were petting and talking to their horses like they didn't have a care in the world. During their lesson, they participate in several motor skill building exercises, such as shooting baskets while they were on their horse. Just sitting on top of the horse strengthens their core and was helping with their balance. Doing this project really helped and impacted them, but it also impacted me. Hearing and seeing such a direct sign from God really strengthened my faith. It showed me God can work through me to meet others' needs. So I'd like to thank those who supplied the funds to make this possible. I'd also like to thank my mentor, Pat Moten, for inspiring and guiding me through and for surrounding me in prayer. I would also like to thank my parents for supporting me through this project. It has been such a blessing. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Samuel Bennett. I will be talking about Dayspring. For those who don't know what Dayspring is a camp that go from grades 9 through graduate, and we just worship the Lord. So, yeah, that's good. So on to it. Dayspring is very important to me. Everyone that goes there that would agree that their faith has changed for the better. That we either take leaps or footsteps, but any distance we make is good because it's toward the Lord and for the Lord. So the big thing of Dayspring is testimonies. And for me, as I made leaps in my faith by sharing and listening to the other people's testimonies. It made me realize how far I strayed from God this past year. The amount of testimonies this year was incredible, which would probably attribute to our theme, crossing boundaries. Crossing boundaries is the boundaries that separate us from God. So these boundaries can be anything from toxic relationships to idolization to guilt. And how do we cross these in order to reach God, to get on His golden path? And there's also other things, that boundaries that we need to follow, like just decisions we don't feel comfortable making, but it's the right thing to do. So talking to a homeless person, about God, or if you feel like you need a calling to follow. And, I mean, it's very amazing because strangers all gather together and share their stories about a testimony, which is something that is not very comfortable because you're a bunch of strangers in a group and you tell your life story. You tell why you believe in Jesus Christ. It changed my view on everything. It was amazing, really, and I encourage everyone to go. That can go. But each story that we shared and each we heard, we were able to inch closer to God and his plan to his yellow brick road, as I mentioned earlier. Every year I see God in the strangest places, and every person that goes there leaves with a piece of the Holy Spirit with them. Dayspring not only rejuvenates one's faith, but adds more to it. There's such strength in our faith community. I urge you to find yours. Thank you.
Good morning, Christ Church. My name is Adriana, and for more than a dozen years, I've considered myself a grateful believer of Jesus Christ. I'm here today to tell you about a recent event that not only reaffirmed my beliefs, but actually strengthened them. Each summer, I have had the opportunity to attend the youth group summer camps, and this past July was no exception. I headed out to camp with no expectations that this year would be any different from years past. I could not be more wrong about that. This year's camp came at a time where I was struggling with my faith. I had a lot of questions, and I had a lot of things that I was struggling with, and I felt I was not getting the answers I needed. The best way I can illustrate this is to think of a foundation of a house that was starting to crack. These cracks are Satan's way of sneaking into our lives to cause doubt and to make us question our faith. The tiniest of cracks, gone unrepaired, can lead to the crumbling of an entire house. Let me just say, this was the most caring and most welcoming church camp I have ever attended, and I will definitely be going again next year and hope to progress to a camp leader position. My calling now is to reach others that may have cracks in their foundation and to help them get the answers they seek. The team at Day Springs were so nice to me and answered all the questions I had, never once saying that my questions were off the topic or we will get to that later. When I had doubts, they showed me the way. When I was questioning my faith, they reminded me why I came to Christ in the first place. They showed God's love in a bunch of different forms, and they also taught me how to share my love and passion for him with others. We had something called small groups. It's kind of like a buddy system, but with 6 people and 2 leaders. I liked it a lot because we could ask anything and tell our small group how we felt or what we think about in different situations without being judged. We were definitely challenged by tough questions throughout that required us to dig deep and seek the answers. They had a lot of great messages, but the one thing that spoke to me the most was, don't honor God with your lips, but honor him with your heart. I really like this because it demonstrates how I need to live my life and how I think other followers should live theirs. It's easy for us to convince ourselves that since we show up to church or that we say we believe in God, or that we sing the lyrics to worship songs, that we have God in our heart. However, showing up is not the same as being present. Being present means we walk in love, to not judge our neighbors, and to live by the lyrics we sing and the message we receive. It means we not only listen to Pastor Bob's message, but we hear it. We then live out each week by putting into practice the lesson from that week. God commands us to be a minister for the church. If we merely show up, we cannot do that. If we present God's message, will come to our heart and allow us to minister to others. Perhaps you have a family member, a friend, a classmate, a neighbor, a coworker that may be struggling in their faith. They have cracks in their foundation, and not all cracks are visible. Our duty is to bring the message to them, to listen to their doubts, and to help answer their questions. I'm grateful that someone answered my questions. I must now pay it forward, and thank you for listening to my story.
Y'all go on home now.
Yes. Thank you.
is the reason you skipped work today?
Yes, sir.
Well, you put all this nonsense behind you, Homer. Thought you weren't going to be doing
it. Dad, it isn't nonsense.
I don't want to argue with you. Look, son, I can't even begin to tell you how proud of you I've been these past weeks. I mean, you've just been doing a hell of a job in that mine. You keep going, you're going to have my job someday. Everybody says so. You got any idea how proud that would make me?
Dad, but
I guess what I'm saying is that if this rocket stuff is so important to you, then so be it. As long as you're careful. Guess there's worse hobbies you could have. But skipping work, that's out of line. And you got to know that. So, let's go and get you right with Jake. Tell him you'll work the hoot owl shift tonight.
No. Coal mine's your life. It's not mine. I'm never going down there again. I want to go into space.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nathan Prey. I'm the assistant youth leader here at Christ Church. I just want to say that I'm very honored to be speaking with you all this morning. As you noticed, we started with a video clip. The clip's from the movie October Sky. It came out in 1999, and it takes place in the midst of the space race in the 1960s. And Jake Gyllenhaal portrays a son in the movie, and him and his friends are in the basement building model rockets because one day they want to grow up to become scientists, go work for NASA, go into space, and learn more about our galaxy. Then his father comes down in the basement, tells his friends to leave, essentially telling his son, you need to give up on this dream of yours, keep it as a hobby, you need to go back to work in the coal mine so you can make a living and provide for the family. He very politely tells his father, no, Dad, that's your life, that's not mine. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I've had similar examples, not from my parents, but from usually from friends, coworkers, fellow students. Usually, the want to give you their words of wisdom. Usually they're saying, do this, not that. And growing up, I was always the youngest amongst my friends, my family. Even to this day, I'm the youngest amongst my coworkers. And with being the youngest, you usually claim the title as the baby. You usually hear the words, oh, how old are you? Oh, you're such a baby. I love to sit back and laugh as I stroke my beard, like, yes, I'm a 6'3", 21-year-old baby. I see how you got that. But by being the youngest, whoever I met, would always try to instill their words of wisdom upon me, like it was their civic duty in a way. Usually by saying, do this, not that. One I hear a lot is, why are you going to school for that? You'll never make any money. Or do this so you can make a lot of money so you can provide for your future family. My personal favorite is, God told me that you are special. My second favorite is, I have a feeling that God is telling me to help you with the path that you're on right now. Most recently, invest and sell in this product so you can buy X, Y, and Z. And in the moment, these words are appealing, and they sound like they have divine precedence. But since I've grown in my faith and understanding, I can't help but sit back and laugh and roll my eyes at these words. But I don't want you to confuse that with me being another disrespectful millennial who thinks he knows all about the world and has it all figured out. No, I laugh at these quote-unquote words and instead focus on the words that Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 through 20 in the parable of the sower and the seed. And others are the ones sown among thorns. There are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. You see, these words of wisdom aren't necessarily bad or wrong out of context, but it's when you put them in the context that they are said to me is when I become guarded. Because when people start to try and stray you away from what God has planned for you, what he's put on your heart, and not realizing what they're doing, is when I notice that these words were the thorns that Jesus depicts in the parable. Thorns that were making me question who I was made to be and what God had planned for me. And the sad thing is, I used to sit back and take these words of thorn to heart, and I didn't realize what it was doing to my relationship with God. I started to question my existence of why I was even here. I started to hear voices in my head leading me to act unjust and immoral. Voices that had me so focused on chasing riches and lustful desires. Till one day I broke down and started to cry. It was then I realized what the enemy was doing, which was the same thing he tried to do to Jesus after being tempted in the wilderness. As you see in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, let's go ahead and read that. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And then the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put your Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship your Lord, your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. You see, that's the real temptation. That's the real scheme of the deceiver. It's not about questioning our morality. It's about attacking our identity. Let's look at the context of this passage. Right before this, Jesus was baptized by John, and immediately after, Scripture says that the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God came to rest on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was immediately led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And then, the next thing that happens, the tempter shows up and starts to throw doubt at Jesus regarding his identity by saying, "If you are the Son of God." Satan is essentially saying, "You don't actually believe that you're the Son of God, do you? I mean, Yahweh, the supreme creator of the universe, said it, but we need more proof than that, don't we? So why don't you go ahead, keep living your life, doubting the voice of the Father, and trying to earn what's already been given to you?" Satan is not attacking our morality, he's attacking our identity. Because who we are will define what we do. And to no surprise, the enemy has used the same tactic since the beginning of time. In Genesis 3:5, when tempting Eve to eat the fruit that had been forbidden, the devil promises that they will become like God, knowing good and evil. You see, this temptation had nothing to do with the fruit. It was designed to test Eve and to cause her to second guess who God made her to be. And as a result, we're left with a broken world. A broken world where countless people cling to it in order to find their identity. You know, the time for prophesying the next generation of world changers is past, because that generation is here and now. What would the world actually do if we are willing to say, "If he has called me into a new creation, then but I believe it"? You know, I see a world longing for a church that believes what Yahweh has said about them and believes it passionately and completely. A church that isn't concerned with what's politically correct or popular. Also, if he has said that I am free from sin, then I believe it. If he has called me his beloved son, his beloved daughter, then I believe it. Satan wants to steal your identity so he can make you doubt who you are and completely neutralize your mission to glorify God's kingdom. Because if you believe that by faith, that you are a child of God, you'll never bow to the lies of the devil ever again. If you believe that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you, you would never shrink back in fear ever again. If you believe that the blood of Yeshua the Christ is enough to save you from your sin, you would turn away from it and never go back to it again. Satan has no power over you and I. He cannot stop God's kingdom. And one day, we'll see him bow before God's throne. So we invite the devil to come in. would say, do your worst, because we know who wins this in the end. Through Christ, we are fearless. Will you please pray with me? Yahweh, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for another day that you've given us to glorify your kingdom, God. God, as we leave this place, just let our identities and our faith be in your Son, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.